Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Tom Hart sitting in for Paul today and tomorrow. Let's talk some ball. Without further ado, we go to the phone line where University of Missouri head coach Eli Drinkwitz waits. Coach, first of all, what a summer for you. You're signing dudes while you're out in the pontoon boat. What's going on?
Well, first off, Tom, congratulations on getting to sit in that big chair, man, getting to replace Paul for a few days. What's he, on vacation or what?
At an unknown locale. This chair is so big, yeah. My feet are dangling, if you know. But
it's
good to be here. Great to catch up with you.
I figured you wanted me on the show. It was about this time last year that I picked a fight with Kirk Herbstreit. So I figured you're trying to bait me into something like that. So I already sent Kirk a text and apologized already. Not going to try to start any stuff. Not trying to make waves today. We're having a great summer here at Mizzou. You know, we were able to get some big time players in the transfer market, and really that's been the most exciting thing, is being able to add some players to our team for this coming season. You know, recruiting's all about, you know, next year, and there's excitement, but it's still a year away before they get there, man. That's the cool thing about this transfer and immediate eligibility. The guys you get are coming into play and have an immediate impact, and we were able to get some of those guys this summer.
I would imagine, though, that that door swings both ways, right? So how do you build a program to keep guys that, and I want to be clear here, keep guys that you want to keep, right? That there will always be players that exit that you go, hey, have a nice ride, good riddance. But to make sure that the ones that you want, the ones that you build up, stay there to be a part of your program, so you're continually adding instead of subtracting.
Well, I think one thing that's really going to help you do is you're going to have to be very authentic in recruiting. You know, that old story back in the day was in the military, my recruiter told me a lie. You're not going to be able to have that anymore. You're going to have to be genuine and authentic in who you are. And then when they show up on campus, they're going to have to experience that, see that, or they're going to be able to leave immediately. And I think we've done a really nice job of just being authentically who we are. Look, I'm not for everybody. I get that. I am who I am. Our staff is who it is. We have a winning standard that we're going to hold everybody to, and it's who our culture is. And I think that's how you're going to have to be moving forward in order to keep people there, that and playing time.
Yeah, well, playing time is huge, obviously. By the way, I want to point out that you, despite the fact that you apologized to him last year, you were right and he was wrong. There was a 2020 college football season. And I got to be honest with you, when I talked with other coaches in the SEC, yours was one of the first names they brought up. Hey, lucky enough to show up at some practices. Hey, did you see what's going on at Missouri? Did you see where they are? Look at where they're going to finish, because there was so much great momentum early on in the season.
Yeah.
First in the SEC, you're first as a head coach. It was a season unlike any other, obviously, but what did you learn about this league and what did you learn about yourself last year?
Well, I think we all learned resiliency, right? The ability to stay true to a course and continue to fight and finish to the end. I think, you know, just having that, not, you know, we had 7 of our 10 games changed, either location to dates or when we were supposed to play them, and being able to try to find a routine and a rhythm within the change. I think the second thing that it confirmed to me, I kind of knew it, but really reiterated, this is a trench league now. You're only going to be as good as your offense and defensive lines. And the games that we really struggled in last year, we really struggled at the lines of scrimmage. And we've got to continue to recruit at a high level in those positions. We've got to continue to coach at a high level in those positions. But in order for us to win and be as successful as we want to be, quarterbacks and all that are sexy and fun. But you got to win at the line of scrimmage, and that was reiterated to us in a big sort of way, you know, in the second half of the Georgia game, and in the second half of the Tennessee game, and even down at Mississippi State.
Yeah, to your point, and I think my numbers are correct. In your 5 wins, you ran for nearly 200 yards a game. In the 5 losses, you're held to less than 75 yards a game.
Yeah.
That's just on the offensive side of the ball. You are going to talk next week when you go to Hoover. You're going to talk football ad nauseum, and I don't want to not talk football with you. But I'm also interested in the other aspects of your job. And as this timeline right now, you're getting ready now to go to SEC Media Days. It'll be your first, and you know, quite frankly, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to sell the program. How do you, as a head coach, prepare for media days?
Oh, I'm going to call Gus first and ask Gus Malzahn on how to do it since he's not in our league anymore. It's going to be a fine line. I don't know. I don't know what to expect or anticipate. I haven't been associated with it. I know the fan base of the SEC is still going to turn out in full force, and I know there's going to be a big group of people there, and we've got to do a great job of selling our program. But man, I'm one of these guys that wants to undersell and over deliver. I'm still one of those old school football coaches that wants to talk about how bad we are and then try to deliver. But this day and age, if you don't hype yourself up, if you're not your own hype train, that can set you back too. So it's going to be a fine line. I think the best way to handle it is just to be honest and tell people exactly where I think we're at. And we still have some question marks. I think we have some exciting pieces on the offensive side of the ball, but at the end of the day, we still got to score more points. You talk about running the football, but in the games we lost, we were not in the right side of the scoreboard. We weren't scoring enough to keep us in the game and keep our momentum in the game. And so with a quarterback returning like Connor Bazelak, with the addition of Mookie Cooper, with the addition of Tyler Beatty and Elijah Young, we got to be more explosive offensively, which I think will help alleviate some pressure on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, you mentioned Mookie Cooper, the wide receiver already, the transfer portal, doing good things for your program. I'm also curious now as we get set to move into that aspect of it and talking about your team and selling your team. You got a new defensive coordinator to talk about. Steve Wilks joins, a great NFL pedigree. What impact does that have on the recruiting trail when you bring in a guy like that?
Well, I think obviously when we're recruiting, everybody's dream is to play in the NFL. And how does the college experience, one, translate to the NFL experience, but two, how does it prepare them for that? And so when you're talking about Steve Wilks, you're talking about a guy who spent the previous 15 years in the NFL as a coordinator, head coach, position coach. And so he can really give these guys, hey, this is what they're looking for in the league. This is how you go about your daily business. When he's talking in front of our team to our defense, hey, this is what you're going to have to do to have sustained excellence at the next level. And I think any kind of advantage that you can gain from 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years around a pro style football coach is only going to benefit you. Right. And so that's really what we're selling. He's a tremendous tactician, tremendous fundamental coach. He was always known for developing great defensive back coaches, and he's got more experience than just about anybody else in our conference in coaching NFL football. And so we're excited about that. We also added Jethro Franklin, who is another guy that's our defensive line coach who spent numerous years in the NFL. And so, trying to really, hey, this is where you want to get to. Well, these guys can show you how to get there because they spend a lot of time there.
Well, you also last year had the opportunity to get introduced personally, although via Zoom, so I guess impersonally, to the other coaches in this league. You knew Gus. You have a history with him. Some of these other names and faces are new to you, and you see how they interact on the Zooms as you guys talk head coaching business or conference business with Greg Sankey. Did any of those personalities surprise you?
I got one opportunity to meet the group in person, and then, getting to see them around the table and then see it in Zoom. It's pretty interesting. There are still guys that don't turn their cameras on during the Zoom meetings, and that kind of surprises me a little bit. I'm sitting there going, I don't think if you were the head coach and having a team meeting, you'd be okay with your players didn't have the Zoom camera on. And I'm not going to drop anybody's names there, but that surprised me a little bit. I will say this, just like we all know, when Coach Saban speaks, we all listen. So when he puts in his opinion or has a comment, we all sit there and say, all right, let's hear what he has to say. And obviously we give him a tremendous amount of respect.
Yeah, and that's respect that's obviously earned. You're earning more and more. As I said, yours was a name that came up with other coaches when I was traveling the league or doing Zoom calls last year, and recruiting a big part of it. So I'm curious, taking a look at your social media, you've been doing a lot of time grilling this summer. All right, so when I see fillets and ribeyes on the grill, is this just grilling for the family, or is this a hidden message to recruits out there or something that I need to know about?
No, it's summertime. It's grill time. Monday nights, my wife expects me to cook, and so I've taken to just grilling. And I might send it out to recruits and send it out on social media. I get drilled all the time about not using a smoker or charcoal and all that stuff. Look, I ain't got time for all that. Okay, I want to go out there, turn on my propane, get my steaks cooked, get in there and eat. I got an 18-month-old. I got to get her to bed by 7:30. Look, I'm not lounging around. Like I'm getting the job done. So I need everybody to get off me on social media. And then the other thing is, Coach Kiffin, Lane Kiffin, and I, we exchanged texts, and he's had just an unbelievable amount of weight loss, and so me and him are trying to figure out, by SEC media days, which one's going to be skinnier. I think he's got me beat right now, so I'm trying to lean up my diet. He's got his own diet plan that there's two parts to it. I can only do one of the parts, but he's like all into fruit and hot yoga and all this other stuff, and so he's got his own diet plan. So I'm trying to attack mine with a little bit more of a keto flair. He's doing hot yoga and fruits and vegetables, and I'm going keto. And so we're going to see who ends up with the best weight loss strategy at SEC Media Day. So we'll figure out how that goes.
I think you also came up with a great idea for off-season programming, hot yoga with SEC coaches. We'll see
we absolutely should start that. But he's killing it right now. But he's got more motivation than I do to be good at hot yoga. I don't have time for all that stuff. But man, I see him post like to his players and all that stuff. Like, I'm like, holy cow. So be interesting to see how he responds to that SEC Media Day. See, I've teed up some questions for people out there.
You sure did. I will give you one hint. People are going to expect news, right? They're going to expect something newsworthy, a key. I hope it's not a key injury, but a key personnel move, or we put this guy on this side of the ball, or here's what we're going to do. You can hint at it like you do on the boat and at the grill, or you can just come out and share a portion of those right now before you get to Hoover.
No, I got to say that, you can't peak too soon. I've always been taught you never want to peak too soon. And so I don't want to throw out all the good stuff that we've got for SEC Media Days in whatever today is. What is it? July 13th. So I know you're trying to get me into a trap to help your ratings so that you can continue as Paul's, guy, but I'm not doing that. I'm not falling for that.
Well, it was either that or have you pick a fight with Herb Street again, and I thought that would be better for everybody involved.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I'm trying to get – I need game day to come back to Columbia at some point. I got to do my part, but I definitely don't want to have a guy who is upset with me. So I respect the heck out of Herbie, but like you said, I was right.
Yeah, you were right. And looking at your schedule, you have a chance to do that. I'll let you talk about all that stuff next week. And by the way, it sounds like I'll be seeing you September 11th in Lexington. That's going to be a key game for the East. Eli Drinkwitz, thanks for the time, man. I really appreciate it. Have fun next week in Hoover, and can't wait to see this team on the field this fall.
All right, man. M-I-Z.
Z-O-U. That's Eli Drinkwitz, head coach, University of Missouri. Also happens to be my alma mater. Also happens to be the second caller from Columbia, Missouri today. We're going to continue on the Paul Feinbaum Show.